Can you hear me? Yeah. All righty. If you'd like, you can turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Goodness, hold on one second. So we're progressing with the MIT, and it's quite a commitment. You know, you guys have jumped into it. I know that if you've stuck with it, you've been blessed thus far. And I promise you, as you persevere forward, it'll be even more of a blessing. And this topic and the next few are really dear to my heart. They radically changed and impacted my life in a season that was so hard, so difficult for me. And but this one, for just so many personal reasons, as life was hard, and I was encouraged by my pastor back in California as we were going through this hard season, that this is just something that the Lord does, this pattern that he continues in the lives of his people. You know, there was promises that the Lord gave us, and he would encourage me, hey, you know, it's on its way. Like, you know, that end result is on its way. And the topic is death, burial, and resurrection. And so in the season of difficulty, it just seemed like we were dying. We were buried. And he would tell me, look, resurrection is on the way. And it was encouraging. It helped me to continue to look forward when I just wanted to curl up in the fetal position and just give up on life. So that's the next study within the MIT. So stick with it. If you've been with us thus far, I promise you it'll get better and better. Since the Lord began directing my family and I to Spain, as time permitted here and there, I always wanted to kind of get an idea of historically where the people were at, you know, where the context of history and the mindset of the people, where they've been, you know, where they're going, where they're at now. And so I always loved history. And it was just one of my things. It was it was easy for me to just kind of look into things. And I was able to, via an email from somebody here, I was able to connect with a pastor who just helped me out a great deal with kind of the spiritual climate of Spain. And so that I just want to get a context of where people were at politically, philosophically, you know, spiritually, all those things. I wanted to kind of get an idea of, since we were coming here to minister the gospel, and you know, it being a very different culture from the States. And so I've always loved history. It's always intrigued me. And so it was for obvious reasons, just an easy task for me. A few weeks ago, Raph was sharing with me some of the more recent history, some of the Franco years when he was in power. And I had known a little bit about this guy, but Raph kind of shared with me, and so this is my understanding of the story as he told it, but he shared with me some things, and it was just, I was fascinated. He told me that, you know, obviously Franco ruled the way he ruled, and the king had a son, and that Franco thought, okay, if this guy is going to be king one day, I don't just want him to rule because of, you know, he's the next guy in line or whatever. I want him to be able to rule the country, you know, like a military man should, not just leading as a king, but as a military leader. And so from what I understand, Franco took this young prince under his wing and trained him for that purpose, thinking that one day when he passed the torch, so to speak, the young prince would kind of continue in the manner and fashion that this guy ruled. And when Franco passed away, apparently the joke was on him, because the prince took the training, he welcomed it, but apparently he had a different plan and he turned it back to a democracy. And so that played a big role in where Spain is at today. And so again, that's the story to the best of my knowledge. Have you ever wondered what it would be like to be like a royalty, to be the part of a part of the royal family? Come on, I know you girls have, like, oh my gosh, a princess, or, you know, maybe being swept away off your feet by a prince. The idea is cool, right? You know, just the thought of they're out there. What is it like to live in that reality? Imagine what it would be like for this young prince, for instance, the son of the king of Spain, that Franco took under his wing to be his disciple. From the moment he was born, from the moment he's born, he doesn't quite understand or have the ability to grasp the full reality of who he is, right? Though he doesn't immediately grasp his identity as a prince, one day, the future king of Spain, who he'll be, it doesn't change who he is, right? That he has special privileges, that his position is the son of a king, which is irrevocable, that his relationship to the king and as part of the royal family gives him many benefits. And though for many of his early years, he maybe just knows his father as papa, you know, simply his father, as the years go on, he will come to discover and to understand the grand scope, right? Whoa, this is who my family is. Therefore, this is who I am. This is the part of the family that I'm in, and I have rights, I have benefits, I have responsibilities. And so as time goes on, that prince will further understand those things, his duty perhaps, his opportunity to serve the people, to bring honor to his father, and labor for the greater good of the kingdom which he was born into. When we get saved, we begin to understand the love of our Heavenly Father, right? As he reaches to us in grace, loving us the way we are, providing that payment for our sins, and then bringing us into his family. And although we don't understand the deep theology at that very moment, at the very least, we know something good is happening, right? But the full reality of who God is, who we are, the reality of our identity and status as a child of the king and our role in his kingdom is something that we begin to discover and understand daily as time goes on, right? You begin to look into the Word of God. You've got teachers and pastors who are pouring into you the Word of God, and you begin to see what the Word of God says about who the Lord is, what the Word of God says about who you are. It's been said that Christians don't grow day by day. They grow line by line. And the Word of God is the key to our growth and understanding of who we are as believers. How many of you guys have understood this to be true? That we really grow by the Word of God. Amen? You guys got the memo, right? Once you got saved, you got that letter in the mail that told you all your bills are going to be taken care of. No more troubles. You're never going to be sick again. It's going to be smooth sailing from here on out. You guys got the letter, right? Even though the moment we believe on Jesus Christ, this amazing transaction has taken place, and we are connected with the creator of the universe, even though we are very literally walking miracles of grace, undeserving of this relationship that we're partaking of, and we have the opportunity of partaking of everything that our Heavenly Father has to offer, we learn really quick that we aren't exempt from the difficulties of this life, right? It doesn't take long for us to realize that we can still sin, that we can experience consequences to our sins. Not only that, but we can make a mess and not only impact our own lives, but the lives of people around us, right? As we mess with or play with fire and flirt with sin in our lives. And we realize that the responsibilities in life don't disappear. Man, the bills keep coming in the mail. You still have to work, pay for food, pay for gas, make ends meet. Sometimes it seems impossible, right? Aside from these difficulties, we have this relationship with the Lord, and He begins to do things in our lives, in our hearts. We begin to be stirred to want to please Him. And hopefully that translates into a desire to serve Him. With the promise of heaven ahead of us, the road that stands between point A, where we're at now, or maybe where we were when we got saved, to point B, being with the Lord in heaven for eternity. Though troubles may arise and those storms may come, the road between point A and point B can be navigated successfully. We can deal with situations that come our way. How many of you guys got situations that, man, just come out of nowhere, surprising, shocking? Maybe some of those situations just make you feel that anxiety in the pit of your stomach, or at a moment's notice, fear just washes right over you when you hear about something or the other that's going on in your life or the life of someone that you love. We can successfully navigate this road. Trials and all, troubles, everything that comes our way. We may not succeed as far as handle every situation the best every time, but we can lean on the Lord for guidance, for wisdom. And by discovering and applying the truth of God's word in our lives, this can become more of a reality day to day as we're abiding in Jesus, as we're discovering and understanding the reality of who our Father is, discovering who we are. It's so tempting to look at ourselves through the lens that the world hands us, right? Well, you've accomplished this, or you haven't accomplished that, or you have this, or you don't have that. I mean, if you get on that, if you put yourself on that little hamster wheel, there's just no telling, you know, when you'll get off, when, you know, you beat yourself up doing something like that, huh? But as we discover and understand who we are, who God is, we begin to discover and understand the promises and benefits of being a son or daughter of the King. From the moment our relationship with the Lord begins, we become not simply His children, but also His disciples. And we never cease to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, to really be a student. Psalm 1 talks about meditating on the law of the Lord day and night. John 15 speaks about abiding in Jesus, abiding in the vine, being nourished and sustained by the Word, the one who became flesh, who dwelt among us, as John puts it, who fulfilled the law, who was crucified on our behalf, and after which was buried, and then that living Word rose from the dead. Romans 8:34 says this: who is he who condemns? Is it Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us? The living Word who is risen at the right hand of God and making intercession for us. I hate to do this to you, but I've been real blessed to know so many of you guys, and Marlene, you've just been a huge blessing in our lives, and it's cool to see that you've had a relationship with the Lord probably as long as I've been alive, and it's amazing to see that a person like that is still a disciple of the Word of God. I mean, digging into the Word, continually abiding in Jesus, in His Word. And it just seems like she continues to learn from the Lord and continues to look for those treasures in His Word. And among the many truths and principles in the Word of God, a gem among the treasure trove is this principle of death, burial, and resurrection. And it's all around us. A grain of wheat has the potential to be fruitful, but unless that outer shell is crushed and broken, it's useless, right? But once that outer shell dies and is crushed and broken, it gets buried into the ground, and after some time passes, that fruitfulness springs forward. Where death and burial preceded, there comes resurrection life, new life. And Jesus led the way for us in this pattern. Even though he told his disciples repeatedly, hey guys, this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. You know, I'm going up to Jerusalem and this is what's going to happen to me. They didn't always quite understand, right? And we see that later on, even after his crucifixion. When he was crucified and his body laid in a tomb, all of his disciples and his buddies, they were like what? They were bummed. They were sad. They were heartbroken because of what had happened. But when it was done, when it was completed, he was different physically, and what he had done for humanity would forever ring out through eternity. And so the pattern and principles behind death, burial, and resurrection are continually cycled in the lives of believers, patterned by Jesus Christ. This cycle in our lives, it's radical, powerful, and life-changing. And so real quick, this is just so much an introduction, because there's just so much in this this topic. In salvation, when we believe on Jesus and we ask him to forgive our sins and to be the Lord of our lives, Romans 6 says that that same death that he died is applied to us spiritually, right? So the old man, who we were, is put to death. And thereby, the bondage of sin that we once were in, those chains are broken. And Paul is saying in those verses in Romans 6, that if that's true, there's also resurrection life for us to experience and walk in beyond the old man being put to death. And so practically, that's the life of the Holy Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead, working in us to live for and serve the Lord. That's just an aspect of it in our salvation. And you'll have to check out Romans 6 and get a more broader understanding of that verse. This principle of death, burial, and resurrection can also be applied to us as we suffer in life. Randy was talking about this morning how Hannah was ridiculed by the other wife of her husband, and the Lord allowed her to go through this. You know, the Lord was the one who closed her womb. But he mentioned that he brought her to the place where she came to the end of herself, where there is no perceivable light at the end of the tunnel, no remedy for the situation. And that happens to us, right, in life, where the Lord allows us to go through seasons like that. Somehow in his sovereignty, he turns up the heat. The fire hurts, right, to be going through those difficult times, but the Lord allows it in his sovereignty. Maybe some of you guys have felt those difficult times, have gone through those, even loneliness, something that the Lord allows us to go through at times, just to cling to him, to bring us to the end of ourselves, like so many people, similar to Hannah. Paul himself had a season that was probably lonely. Elijah, before God used him in such radical ways, drove him out into the wilderness by himself, where all he had was a little stream, a little brook to get water from, and the birds bringing his food. And before the Lord could use him, he just drove him out there to be lonely. Sometimes the Lord puts us in situations where we suffer, where we're dealing with challenges, where we're mocked and ridiculed by our enemies. We can experience more pain and suffering and loneliness than we ever thought possible. And yet the Lord is even working in those times, allowing us to really discover what we truly trust in and find our security in. And it's in those times that the Lord is putting to death our flesh, our sufficiency in ourselves. He brings us to the end of ourselves and our power and our abilities and our wisdom. And it very literally seems like we're deposited into the grave. We're dying. It hurts. It's painful. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 8 through 12 say this: "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." Paul says in verse 8, "We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed." Check this out. Check out what he says in verse 10 through 12. "Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus." So there's purpose. Check this out. "That the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body." Verse 11, "For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake." Again, "that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then, death is working in us, but life in you." And so the Lord uses these seasons, this cycle in our lives, we're called to suffer, to go through difficult seasons. But there's a purpose. As we're squeezed and as the pressure's put on, and as it seems like we're being burned by the fire and the heat is turned up, even though we're alive, we're carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that his life might be manifested in us. When we crucify our flesh and our fleshly desires, how many of you guys would say that reading the Bible and praying is like one of the easiest things for you to do? Nobody? Come on, you're a bunch of spiritual people. It's not easy, right? It's easy for me to sit in front of the TV, kick my feet up, relax. It's easy for me to eat a good meal, focus on having some fun, entertain myself, play some games. I like watching movies. We can be saved. And the reality is we can have very little spiritual growth in our lives for many years. If we're interested, even not in sinful things, if we're just interested in pleasing ourselves and, you know, I'm all about me and having fun and I deserve it. I work hard. I'm going to get this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to have fun. I'm going to go here, go there. You can be a Christian and still have that attitude and not necessarily be involved in super sinful things. If I'm filling my life with entertainment and if my chief aim of life is pleasing my own flesh, whatever that may be, and just living for my enjoyment, there's going to be very little interest in the life of the Spirit. But when we crucify our flesh, When we put to, and I'm not saying you can't have any fun. That's not what I'm saying here. But crucifying the flesh, fasting, praying, reading the Word of God, service to the Lord, it doesn't come natural, right? It's not something that's easy for me to do as it is to feed my flesh and watch movies and have fun. But as you crucify your flesh, this manifests the resurrection life of Jesus, like suffering does. The principle is there. The resurrection life of Jesus Christ, or rather, the resurrection of Jesus Christ was the most significant and important event that ever occurred on the planet. Jesus' crucifixion would be meaningless without the resurrection. When we experience that pattern of death and burial through suffering, through pain, it's for a purpose. It's so that the power and the life of the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead would be manifested in our mortal bodies through your life, through my life, and even greater measure. For the glory of the Lord, for his service. And it's just a part of discovering who we are in the Lord, what he's provided for us, the things that he's made available to us. As we discover who we are, as we discover our identity and the benefits made available to us through our Father, there should be a measurable impact in our lives. If there's a, you know, if we're talking about the same power that raised Jesus from the grave working in our lives, there should be something dynamic about resurrection life working in us. Should there not be? So that's the principle there. That's the topic: death, burial, and resurrection. There's an application for us. There's an application of it for us when we got saved. In Jesus' death, the old man was put to death, and now, even though we live on, the life of the Spirit is resurrection life. When we suffer, it's for a purpose. We're pressed, we're persecuted, we go through pain, but it's like that grain of wheat. That outer shell is being removed and it's being deposited into the ground so that there's more fruitfulness. And the life of the Spirit is a dynamic, powerful life that we can all experience. So that's the introduction. I hope that you guys are blessed by this study. I'll give you guys the homework after this, and yeah, I hope you guys are super, super blessed by it. It is really an amazing a topic, and as you study it, as you look at it, if you've not looked at it through this, you know, very focused lens before, I'm pretty sure it'll change the way you see things from here on out. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for being who you are, Lord God, that you led the way for us, that you set the pattern for us to follow. Lord, you did a miracle on the cross, and even more so in the resurrection, Lord. And you are alive. You are in heaven interceding on our behalf. That death that you died once and for all, Lord God, and we praise you for that, Lord. And I pray that for us as believers in this world, Lord, that we would have powerful, dynamic, Spirit-filled lives, Jesus, that as we go through difficulty, as we go through the challenges of this life, that we would truly discover more and more who we are in you, and that as we're hard-pressed on every side, as we crucify our flesh, Jesus, just bring about more resurrection life, that your power might be evident in our lives, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.